from the Toronto Sun. Also has the TSN podcast with Josh Lundberg, the TSN Raptors report. Ryan Wohlstadt joins us. Mr. Wohlstadt, how you doing?
Doing well. How about you?
Hey, I'm excellent, man. Raptors, one win away. Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan in game five did kind of what everyone was waiting for them to do that they did all regular season. You know, they combined for almost 60 points, led their team. Do you think they're capable of it doing again? What did you see different between those two in the same game that leads you to believe that maybe they can repeat it in game six?
Well, there's this magic sort of thumb trick with a shoelace the Raptors have been doing with DeRozan, which kind of relieves the pressure and the swelling on his thumb, and it seemed to work for him that he can grip the ball a bit better. He can feel when he releases his shot, it's a little bit better than it had been. So that was sort of working for him. Also, Bismack Biyombo probably set the best screens on the team, and he was really freeing up DeRozan well. And so that helped. And Lowry, obviously, just, you know, he's got a knack for making big shots. Even when he was off, he hits them, you know, when he needs to, not in this series very much, but all through the regular season, he had just been doing that. So it was kind of the return. I think confidence is such a key with both of them. And now that they've seen the ball go in, you know, you would think they can build off of it. But then again, they had another game where it went in and didn't really build off that before. They've seen that in these playoffs a couple times. So they're very unpredictable. So you're never really sure what you're going to get out of them. But it had to help, though, both of them having good games in game five.
Are you surprised that Carroll is going to play tonight?
No, not at all. I mean, if you would ask as soon as it happened, yes, definitely. But you could tell after the game and after they got the test and just knowing who he is, if it's not broken, that's the guy that's going to play through. You know, he's going to go, look at how he came back. You know, he was still in pain. He's probably still in pain with his knee from it swelling up, and he'll still play. He's a warrior. Kyle Lowry called him an animal today. Like, basically, he's trying to be a Junkyard Dog 2.0. That's his persona. And he can't not play, basically. If that's your persona, you gotta push through it.
Ryan Wohlstadt joins us previewing Game 6, a potential Game 7 between the Raptors and the Heat. Ryan, how concerned should the Raptors be that they really haven't had good fourth quarters during the playoffs?
That's a big concern. And if you can even stretch it out to, you know, they there's a lot of games they haven't started well. There's been a few. It's just, they're not a team that when they're up on teams, they really jump and pounce on them. That's the kind of the concern for tonight. Can they finally do it? Can they finally close the door? Because they kind of need, you know, whenever they build a big lead and then go into the fourth, they seem to let the other team chip away at it, and it's always like right down to the end. So they're definitely going to need to be a better fourth quarter team, because you don't want Dwayne Wade or Joe Johnson, proven guys, having a chance to win games at the end.
Yeah, Ryan, you mentioned Dwayne Wade. The Miami Heat were in this exact same scenario in the first round. They were down 3-2, taking on the Charlotte Hornets. Then Dwayne Wade turned into vintage Dwayne Wade in the last two games. How do the Raptors make sure that Dwayne Wade doesn't look like his younger self in the next two games?
You have to think that he's got to be tired. You know, it's been a long time since he's had this workload. I mean, when he had LeBron James and Chris Bosh healthy, that took a lot of pressure off him. But he's been, you know, playing every other day, and at his age, and especially what he did against Charlotte, playing seven games, you have to think that logically he's going to slow down. But then again, you realize that he's the first ballot Hall of Famer in the making, and he lives for these moments. So if he's going to make one more push, probably the best way to do it is to hope that that Carroll's feeling good when he's on him, and maybe mix up some defenders and try to lean on him a little bit and maybe make him a little more tired so that he just doesn't have it later on in the game. But it's going to be really hard, and I would expect Dwayne Wade to have a great game.
Ryan Wohlstadt joins us. He covers the Raptors. You can check out his TSN podcast with Josh Lewenberg, the TSN Raptors report. We're getting slightly ahead of ourselves here, Ryan, but whoever wins this round between the Raptors and Heat, do they stand a chance against LeBron and the Cavaliers?
No, I don't think so. I don't think anyone thinks so. I think they could win a game, but I think stretching them into six games would be surprising. I mean, maybe if Cleveland hadn't found themselves, I know the Raptors beat them during the regular season, had some really impressive games against them, but Cleveland's just a different beast right now. That LeBron has it going. He's kind of the rare athlete that can kind of play in third gear and still be really good and then rest himself for the playoffs and take it up a notch and just be ridiculous. I mean, their offense just set records for most three-pointers in a series. You know, they haven't lost yet. Finally, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love, and LeBron are coexisting as a threesome, and they're scary. And then you got the Canadian guy, Tristan Thompson, grabbing every rebound when they do miss, and they've gone small, and it's really worked for them. I just don't see, you know, Carroll's a guy that in the past has slowed LeBron a tiny bit, but I just don't see how, you know, they stopped Kevin Love as well and a Kyrie Irving. I mean, Kyle Lowry could have his way with Irving because he doesn't really defend, but other than that, I mean, it'd be very, very tough for either team. I don't think Miami has anywhere near the depth to compete against Cleveland.
Ryan, you're in Toronto covering the Eastern Conference, so I know you're not following that closely the West, but last night we saw OKC edge the Spurs in six games. Was that the last time we saw Tim Duncan walk off a NBA court?
Sure seems like it. I mean, I did the Spurs Heat, the two finals there, and after the last one when they won, it kind of felt like maybe he's going to, you know, quit then. He just won a title, but he was playing great, so you understand why he came back. This year, you finally saw, you knew it was coming because it just, you know, big men in the NBA, there's a long history that shows once they get to a certain age, they just have a huge drop-off. And Duncan had defied it a little bit, and he's probably the closest thing to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar that really kept it going right till the end, right till he turned 40. But there was a slippage this year, and in the playoffs this year, he wasn't utilized that much. And I'm not sure, you know, he loves his teammates, but is he a guy that's going to keep going when he knows, you know, the Warriors are out there, the Thunder, like, it's not, there's no easy way to a title. You got LeBron in the East. Like, if I was betting, I would say he's probably done and Manu's probably done, which is a shame because they were, you know, they were, what a franchise, ridiculous all these years. And they've given basketball fans a lot of great memories.
It was a great series wrapped up last time between the Spurs and OKC. On the flip side, Ryan, there's a lot of stories in the NBA this year. Obviously, we had the Golden State Warriors in pursuit of perfection, Steph Curry back-to-back MVPs. We had farewell Kobe Bryant. But the OKC Thunder kind of stunned the basketball world, upsetting the Spurs in six last night. Are the OKC Thunder, is that one of the best stories that no one's really paying that much attention to? And maybe that'll change now that they're in the conference finals?
For sure. I mean, it's almost like, how do you forget about Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, like two of the six best players in the NBA, maybe the third best guy and fifth or sixth. Sorry, a little arena background noise here going on. But, but they're really, really good, and they've made some smart additions. And, you know, it's weird. They lost by, like, 30-plus points in March 25th to the Spurs, and then they lost by almost 30, I believe, in Game 1. And they just – to turn it around like this and just – like, I know the Spurs made it a bit close at the end of the game, but they were killing them yesterday. It's just – it's crazy. Yeah, I think people are sleeping on them. And as much as we wanted to see Golden State, San Antonio, because that would have been unbelievable, this is fascinating too. Like, Steph Curry and all those Warriors, Draymond Green. Like, Draymond Green against Kevin Durant, how good is that going to be? That's going to be awesome as well. And you know what? I think they have a shot. I would pick the Warriors to win, but that's going to be a great series.
Ryan Wolstad joins us. Ryan, one last one for you. DeMar DeRozan has the opt-out option. He'll do it, of course, because the salary cap is going up so much. Are you concerned he might, you know, there's been the talk, he said he'd love to play in L.A. for the yellow and purple. Do you think he leaves Toronto, or if they get to the conference final, is that something he says, you know what, this team's pretty close, I'll stay?
I would be stunned if he left. I think he's a guy that's been there since day one, has been attached to the city and to Canada. The idea of being Canada's team, that's something that appeals to him. I know, obviously, there's a draw in L.A., growing up a Lakers fan, a Kobe fan, and being from nearby, but he's also a kind of a quiet guy who doesn't like all the distractions. I'm not sure. Some guys don't like playing at home. They don't like, they can't deal with it. And I don't know. If the Raptors decided to part ways, which they show no indication, and talking to Masai, they show no indication of doing that, then I'd say L.A. would be obviously the second most likely option, but I just can't see it. If anything, maybe he engineers a trade there down the line, but I think for sure, you know, he comes back now, especially without Farley, John.
Ryan, I appreciate it, and I expect the Raptors, if it's not tonight, I do expect them to dispatch of Miami and then move on and face Cleveland, which will be a very tough series. But either way, first time into the conference finals. Appreciate your time.
No worries. Enjoy the game.